last time you spoke the word over yourself? Do you do it daily? You do it daily. And part of doing it daily, you have to read it daily. If there was enough evidence, and you've probably heard this before, probably seen it in a movie, I said this years ago in our youth ministry, there was enough evidence to convict you of being a believer, a disciple of Jesus Christ, would there be enough evidence to convict you in that? Would people know that you are a Jesus follower, that you are a lover of Christ, without you ever having to tell them? If you were to be arrested, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Some people are like, yeah, but I'd be doing life. That's what you want. That's what you want. You want to be doing life. You want to be raining Jesus out of you, out of your pores, and so much. I mean, it's just, you change the atmosphere wherever you go. Not because of you, but because Jesus is living in you. Prophesy over yourself. That's the best thing that you can do rather than feeling sorry for yourself. Prophesy over yourself. You know how to worry. You know how to meditate on the wrong thing. Meditate on his word. Begin prophesying over yourself. Begin prophesying over your marriage. Begin prophesying over your friends. Begin prophesying over those relationships. Start doing it. Sometimes prayer life ends up being more so complaints than anything else. Begin prophesying over it. I went downstairs and grabbed my blankets last night. Came upstairs because I was doing some stuff. I was doing the offering message and everything. And my wife had bought some little bunnies, which I don't think any of us like them but Roman. So she's okay with that. Whatever Roman wants, no, Roman gets. And we all just have to kind of roll with it. But I seen this bunny. I don't know if I hit it with my blanket coming up, but I know I went out. I got up and went up to the bathroom, went to the bathroom, came back. I did a little shaving and stuff. And then I came back and that bunny was down. I was like, okay. And I began speaking over. I said, you demon, you better get out and out of here. I began prophesying. I didn't know if I knocked it over or not, if it fell over, but it wasn't going to stay there. And I don't know if you heard me, but I was speaking to it. And I ended up picking it back up. I said, don't you ever come back in here again. Who you were speaking? I don't know. But the thing is that I had chills all over. Not that it was just a feeling, but I knew I was doing something right. And sometimes we'd be afraid to speak. We'd be afraid to say things because we don't understand the power and authority that we operate in. God loves us so much that he gave us that. Remember waking up one night, and that happened. Thought I saw something standing right there by our basket where we was. Get on out of here. I don't believe Kristen was there at that time. But you have to call it out. You don't just let it stay. You got disruption going on in the atmosphere in your home. You speak to it. You prophesy over it. You got stuff going on in your children's life. You prophesy over them. And you don't back down, no matter what it is. Give me that scripture, 1 John. Let's get into the message. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. All who confess that Jesus is God. I'm going to just roll scripture to scripture a little bit, talk about it. All who confess. So that means you got to open up your mouth. Are you confessing Jesus or are you confessing problems? all who confess Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. Now, when was the last time you shared your faith with another believer, with an unbeliever? I'm going to challenge y'all. Y'all have to excuse me. If it sounds like I have a lisp, I'm going to tell myself. Years ago when I was playing hoops, chipped my tooth, got my tooth knocked out. And then put it back in, got my tooth knocked out again. Put it back in, got my tooth knocked out again. Put it back in, got my tooth knocked out again. Somebody should say, man, you should stop playing basketball because that's what it's about. So I had to get the tooth finally taken out so I can get some braces, get an implant on that. So I have a retainer. My tooth is out. It's just a retainer. That's a fake tooth right there. So I got to wear this big old retainer. And I got to take it out when I eat and eat it on the side of my mouth and stuff. So if it sounds weird, that's why. All right. So now we got that out the way. If you want to crack jokes, are we going to let the air out your tires? No, I'm playing. No, that's all right. I'm cool with it. When's the last time you stood up for an injustice? There's a lot of stuff going on in our nation today. And the body of Christ is going to have to stand up. We can't be quiet. There's a lot of injustices going on. This nation is going to hell in a handbasket. Because we just continue to be quiet. We don't say anything. Well, we just got to make peace. Hey, listen, agitation is for the kingdom of God. It's okay to agitate. If you want to irritate, that's for yourself. Anybody can be a nuisance in somebody else's life, right? But agitation is for the kingdom. You got to stir something up. It's for the good of the kingdom of God. It's for the good of the body of Christ. That's okay. That's a positive thing. Sometimes we get a little bit too quiet. Listen, you don't have to take a side. The kingdom of God ain't here to take sides. It ain't about Democrat, Republican. It's about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not here to take sides. It's here to take over. And we've been too busy trying to take a side. I'm for God's side. Because anybody who comes against that, they're stupid. If Jesus lives in us and we in him, shouldn't these things be clearly evident in our life? Anybody could be nice to people at times. Just because you're having a good day. You're having a good day, man. I mean, high fives all over the place, man. But is the love of Jesus flowing in our daily lives? Honestly, sometimes it's not mine. You know what I want to do, and you know what I want to say. I'm not 100% in that. Doesn't make it right, because I still got to get right back into the line of God. Forgiveness is 100% for us. You can't be in the 90th percentile when it comes to forgiveness. You got to be 100%. Even if they don't repent, you still have to forgive. Doesn't mean you continue to allow them to be in your life. Me, on the other hand, I've basically cut them out of my life for the time being because I believe that's the direction the Lord led me. They may not like it, but I believe that God is going to do a work in their life, and I believe God is going to do a work in our life. But there's going to be some healing going on because it's unrepented. I forgave them, but it's unrepented. Time to move on. And if people don't like it, so be it. I love the person, but if you're unrepentant in what you did, what good is that? If somebody's unrepentant, what's going to happen next? They'll just do it again. So if the Lord tells me they're getting ready to destroy my life and they want to do that, I'm not going to allow it. Repentance doesn't mean, forgiveness does not mean allowing yourself to be walked all over. And I'm not going to allow myself to be walked all over because I love myself too much. And I love him. And I really do pray for him. And I'm asking God to bless them. But I can't allow them to control me. Wherever you're at, God wants you to be people what Jesus was to you. God wants you to love God wants you to love people the way that Jesus loves you. We know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in him, he lives in them. In John 3:16, one of the most famous scriptures, we know it. Let's read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And since we know that, we can confidently put our trust in him and in his love. And if there is one person in the world that we can trust, it's Jesus. He's the one that we can trust. No matter how difficult or how painful your situation is, you can rest, or better yet, hang your hat on the fact. When you're hanging your hat, you're making yourself at home. That God truly loves you, and he wants the best for you, and he wants to bring out the best in you. Next verse, it says, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. But if we live outside of God, our love can grow colder. In him becomes to be more perfect. Outside of him, our love can grow colder. We become more distant. We don't want anything to do with that person in every which way, unless the Lord told you, time to separate. Because sometimes when you're living in that toxic environment, it can get on you. If we live in God, then our actions towards one another won't be malicious. They won't be deceitful. It won't be scripted. It will be true, genuine, and authentic when we get together because we are all living in God's perfect love. Doesn't mean that you will be perfect, but it does mean you will demonstrate God's perfect love to each other. And we live this way so that on judgment day, we will not be afraid. See, some people get upset with being judged. I don't mind being judged. I just, you know, if you go in a courtroom, who's the first one to speak? Well, the judge, and then who's the first one to deliberate, or the accuser? Who's the accuser of the brethren? Satan. Who's our defender? Jesus. So I don't mind when people judge. At least get both sides of the story before you do. Because if you're dealing with two people, the first story that comes out will be the accuser, the manipulator, the deceiver, because they want all the influence. And sometimes people will say, hey, you don't need to tell your side of the story. Oh, contraire, mon frère. Jesus is our defender. And sometimes when the Lord tells you to speak, you speak. And other times he tells you to hold your tongue, hold your tongue. Because discretion will preserve you. So I don't fear man's judgment because it's only for a season. The judgment we should fear is God's, because that's eternal. Why are you going to fear man's judgment? He's judging me. She's judging me. So what? Judge away. You're telling people to judge? I said, no, the Bible actually says not to judge. But if you're going to get upset over somebody else judging, that's on them. You can't stop what they want to do. So we should never fear man's judgment. We fear God's. But see, when we are living in him, that perfect love that we are operating in, we won't ever have to be afraid of the judgment of God because we're keeping ourselves in love. Next verse says, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. So why do we want to live in God or remain in him? Because his love has no fear. Fear will paralyze you. It'll get you to the place to where you don't want to say anything, stand up for yourself, and then you get walked all over. How many hours I said I put in that stuff? 400 hours? 400 hours. I can see it coming from a mile away, that type of spirit, that Jezebel influence. I can see it coming from a mile away. Because people's tactics don't ever change. The enemy's tactics don't change. We are not ignorant of the enemy's schemes. His tactics don't ever change. They just use that. What changes is the narrative. What changes is some of his people that he uses. And it's the same stuff, and I see it, and I'm like, well, I got to come against that too. Surely y'all can't be that ignorant. Sometimes they are. You still got to walk in love with them, but it doesn't mean you allow them to push a false narrative upon you. Your narrative is what Jesus has called you to be. Who you are is who Jesus has called you to be. Not what they're trying to say. If thoughts of judgment brings fear into your hearts, then you are not loving as you should. Perfect love is complete and fully developed. And that's where we want to be. Complete and fully developed. And you're going to have all the tests that you want to handle, that you can handle. And then some. It ain't what you can handle. It's what God can handle. He can handle anything. You doing it in your own power, you probably won't be able to accomplish it. You doing it in his, you can get some stuff done. Amen. You see it in the life of Jesus of how he responded to sinners. His love was perfect towards those that need it. Many times people get so caught on being judged by others. We shouldn't have to. Don't get caught up in that. But we want to be able to stand before the Lord without any shame, guilt, or condemnation. So we have to keep ourselves in love because he loves us. God gave us the blueprint of what it is to love. His love heals. His love forgives. His love is not offended. His love is not prideful or arrogant. His love is truthful and honest. His love restores. That's the love of God. Romans 5:5 says this, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. God not only fills, man, God doesn't do anything halfway. He fills it and overflows. So that love isn't just for you. It's to pour out on other people. It's to give to others. If someone says, it's the next verse in that scripture, we love each other because he first loved us. Go to the next one, please. If someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a what? Liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? Now, you're going to have some differences. You're going to have some disagreements. That happens. That's part of it. That's part of life. Conflicts are, that's part of life. Whether or not the Chiefs are worthy to cheer for, that's part of life. You know, you got to struggle with that. I get it. No, I'm a Bills fan, so. But if someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother, hate is the same thing as committing murder when you hate somebody, when you hate them. You're going after them because you hate them. You're stirring up strife in their life because you hate them. It's the same thing as committing murder. We can't truly say we love God and do that to someone else. And even if it has been done to you, you still got to forgive. But again, you don't have to be walked all over. He says that person is a liar. Scripture says hatred stirs up strife or discord. You want to know if someone truly hates you? Or are they sending people across your path to stir drama in your life? You cannot love God whom you have not seen and hate a brother who you see every day. And whoever hides hatred has lying lips. I don't mind saying I love a person, but I dislike what they do. So I pray for them. I don't have to like what they do. If it's evil. If it's good, I can just shut my mouth. What are those who consider evil good and good evil? If it's a good thing, I don't have a problem with it. But if it's a bad thing and it's coming at me, I don't have to like it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to put up with it. Hatred for others can go undetected, especially if it goes through other people. Okay? If people are trying to get you to do that, just let them know, I ain't going to do that to my brother. I'm not going to do that to my sister. I'm good. I'm going to let that go. Well, you need to say that about something. No, I'm going to just let that go. Why? It ain't worth it. I want to be able to stand before my Heavenly Father without any shame, guilt, or condemnation. So I'm not going to do that to my sister. I'm not going to do that to my brother. Because y'all know what I want to do. I can't keep saying that. Lord, forgive me. And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. It's a command, not a suggestion. Next scripture on that, please. That's a command, not a suggestion. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. Loving someone does not necessarily mean you have to be best friends with them. It doesn't mean you have to continue in a relationship with them. And I'm just talking about outside the marriage, because I know God can restore anything. He can restore people. I've seen where people were being abused in a marriage, big time. And God restored that. They didn't tell them to separate. He restored that. Heard a story about a man that was being so rude to his wife. And the Lord appeared to him at night, and I mean, just I guess it is a dream or a vision, what have you. It's like, and he said, if you don't treat my daughter right, your life is going to be kaput here on this earth. And he straightened up quick. I mean, I'm talking about every single day they walked hand in hand. I mean, they had a daughter, and they named her Love, because that's how much he, I mean, it God totally changed his life. Now, sometimes some people need that in their life. I was like, okay, Jesus needs to pay them a visit. They need that road to Damascus experience. God can turn any situation around, but let God do it. Quit trying to do it in your own power. Quit forcing the issue. I'm gonna just allow God to work. Not only in my life, but in their life. I'm not going to send people his way in order to tell him something, and he bet not send anybody my way. Because then, y'all know what I'll do. See, I got to walk in love. I got to walk in love. I want to help y'all. Sometimes you outgrow your people around you. If you're not getting something from them, God can always get something to you, but sometimes you just outgrow your circle. It doesn't make you better than them, but you do outgrow. It's like, okay, I get it. And as the Lord tells you, just kind of, well, don't go today. I know you got Bible study, but don't go today. The Lord is Bible study. But don't go today. I want to show you something. I want to connect you with this person over here. See Larry over here? Yeah, let Larry teach you about some softball. But you know what? He isn't just going to teach you about softball. He'll teach you about Jesus too and how to walk with him while you're playing. Go hang out with Randy over there. Make him buy you a breakfast for him. But you know what? He's going to tell you about Jesus too. Go and hang some shingles with Dustin. He needs some help in the summer. It's hot up there. But you know what? He's going to tell you about Jesus too. There are certain aspects in your life that people have gone through in their trials and tribulations, and the stuff that you might be going through is something that they can help you in. And that circle may not be able to do it. So he'll probably connect you over here. You really think you're bad? Go hang out with Telly over there. Hear his testimony. He was getting ready to kill somebody. But God changed him. You got anger issues? Why don't you talk to my man Kyler over here? I know Kyler in high school, coached him. He would take a player out like so quick, but he's got a good heart. He loves God. He loves his fiance. He's a changed dude. Still needs some work. His love isn't perfected, but you are getting better at it though. Amen. Him and Connor used to have some battles. That was fun to watch. God will connect you with the most unlikely people in the world that you never, ever thought about. And you might think, I have nothing in common. Be quiet, sit down, and listen to what they have to say. And allow the Spirit of God to flow through them. If you're going to step away, make sure you don't do it because I'm telling you or somebody else is telling you. Make sure it's the Holy Spirit. I had a man tell me, you need to speak to the mountain because I was struggling with it. And in this click, I said, I never spoke to that person about that. I never confronted them. And once I did, felt like 1,000 pounds lifted off me. Duh, speak to the mountain. I can do it with sickness. I can do it with other stuff. I didn't do it with them. I said, and when I finally did it face to face, made sense. You can't be afraid to confront people. Galatians 4:4-7 says this. Did I give you that scripture? It says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. For God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are children, are his children, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. You are no longer a slave. You're no longer a slave to fear. You're no longer a slave to depression. You're no longer a slave to anxiety. You're no longer a slave to all these things that the world may throw at you. You're no longer a slave to it. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. And God has made you his heir. I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. What have you welcomed into your home? Depression. Get on out of here. Demonic spirit knocking on my bunnies. Get on out of here. You're not welcome. Fear is no longer a factor in your life as far as it is controlling you when you have been living in God and God living in you. You don't have to live in fear. Hate fear. But what was God's answer to that? Faith. Faith in him. Fear knocked on the door. Who answered? Faith. Get on out of here, fear. But I'm afraid to say that to that person. I'm telling you, you're going to feel 1,000 times better because you know That's the mountain that you need to face because you haven't said it to him. You can do it in love. And it doesn't mean you hate them and they're going to sit there and then try to, well, you're in unforgiveness. No, I'm not. Well, you're offended. No, how can I be offended? If I was offended, you know what I want to do. Thank you, Jesus. Who's been living in fear? Somebody's been living in fear in here. It's okay to be. You have? Well, we break that off of you in the name of Jesus. You're a child of God. And you say that every single time. Fear, get out of here. No more. I'm a child of God. I'm joint heirs with him. All right? You speak it boldly. You speak it loudly. Don't be ashamed. Somebody look at you weird, that's okay. He's got to hear you. Some people want to write the devil a letter. Not I. If you're going to write him a letter, put it on the bottom of his shoe because that's where he's at. Under your feet. Chief. Being a child of God, you got kingdom privileges. You got promises that are made available to you. How come we don't use them as much as we should? I don't think we would be in this situation if we actually did. Got to quit listening to those people that are telling you it's not yours. It is yours. Jesus died for it. It is yours. Those promises are yours. Stop believing a lie. I'm telling you, his truth will make you free if you just submit to it. Stop living that lie. And if your chest is just, your heart just trying to come out of your chest right now, that's you. Now, what you do with that, Lord, show me where am I living a lie at. Show me. I want to know. Don't make every excuse to try to discredit what I'm saying. God loves you so much, and he wants a relationship with you. Believe in him. That whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. And I'm not saying this just because I talked with you yesterday, but put your trust in Jesus. You know who I'm talking to? If I gave you a ride, I said, just put your trust in Jesus. He won't let you down. And I believe that he will begin to reveal his word to you the more and more you read it. You're a good young man. Just continue to trust him. Start there. Start there. He will never, ever let you down. He's never let me down. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand. Can I get y'all out of your comfort zone real quick? This is where we grow. Dean, can you put on some music, the prophesy one? Hallelujah. This is where you grow. This is what I want y'all to do.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.